Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Teresa Giudice from The Real Housewives of New Jersey has been spotted spending the weekend in Miami with her new 26-year-old beau, Blake Schreck. Of course, his last name is Schreck. Megan King Edmonds from The Real Housewives of OC has been spotted filming for the upcoming 14th season of Real Housewives of OC. And the VPR cast will be filming an episode of Family Feud versus Chrissy Teigen and John Legend. We'll end the show discussing our favorite moments that aired on Bravo this week. I'll be tackling this mess and more with today's co-host, Jess, who hosts an amazing podcast called The Real Housewives of the West Side, which is all about pop culture, Bravo, reality TV, health, and wellness. Welcome, Jess.
Thank you so much for having me, Megan.
So I obviously went on your show last week and we did a lot of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills talk, which I love going deep into that show.
Yes, me too. And I think it's going to be an amazing season. I'm actually like, I have my hopes up and I feel pretty confident that we're not going to get like fucked over this season.
I totally agree. Well, to get to know you a little bit better, I'm going to ask you three questions. Okay. What is your favorite show on Bravo?
Okay, my favorite all-time show, like all together, all encompassing every season, I'm going to have to go with New York. Because I feel like I feel like they've never had a bad season, although that one season with like Aviva, and I mean, it wasn't so great, but even then we had the leg toss. So I'm going to go with New York. My favorite right now that's airing, I'm trepidatiously going to go with Beverly Hills. But I'm holding out hope.
I mean, same. You never know.
Exactly.
What is your least favorite show on Bravo?
You know, I would have to say Below Deck and all of their different variations. I've never gotten into it. I know some people are super into it, so I apologize. I'm not trying to be offensive, but
you're personally offending me.
I'm so sorry. I've never gotten into it, and maybe it's a, you know, I've had many people tell me, well, if you just give it a chance. But, you know, I have a pretty full DVR schedule as is. So, sorry.
And what is the Bravo star that you think should come back to an existing franchise?
Okay, this may be a little, I don't know, scandalous to say. But I have been on the Jill Zarin campaign for like a good 2 years now. Jill Zarin to me is quintessential New York, especially like the Upper East Side ladies. She's just quintessential New York to me. I loved Bobby Zarin. I rest in peace, Bobby. And I think it would be interesting to see that Jill and Bethany dynamic now that Bethany isn't like the little wounded bird anymore.
Totally. And I think just to see like kind of like a comeback story for Jill where Bethany's like, actually, I'm the queen bee. And now you kind of have to do what I say rather than like vice versa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel like Jill might also be a little, if she did come back, I feel like she maybe, because don't get me wrong, that last season that she was on when it was Bethany versus Jill, I mean, I don't know if she got a bad edit or what. I mean, I don't think we'll ever know, you know, the complete 100% truth of whatever it was between them. But, I think that she would come back with maybe a little piece of, you know, it'd be a little more humble maybe, especially now since, you know, Bobby passed and she went all through all of that. So,
yeah, I totally agree. Well, let's just jump right into it. So Teresa Giudice was spotted this past weekend in Miami with her new little boy toy. His name is Blake Schreck, who is 26 years old. And just for context, Teresa is 46 years old. So I think like this young guy has like more to do with Gia than Teresa. So I'm still trying to figure out some information on him. I have that he's 26. He grew up in the same town as Tree. And based on LinkedIn, he works for his dad's company doing business development, which is like medical devices or something.
Oh, that's interesting. Because I Googled him and found out that he, well, I don't know. I mean, this could be like his previous job too. But I found this amazing website that everyone needs to go look up. It's called.
As I like write it down in my notes.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, get ready, guys. I'm going to spell it out for you. It's called Leopizzi. Leopizzi, Leopizzi Real Estate. And their website is leopizzirealestate.com. And their website, I'm going to guess, was possibly made in 1998.
Oh, I'm looking at it right now. It's so
are cool. You looking at this?
Yeah.
This is a real website. And okay, like go to like coldwellbanker.com and then go to their website and you're like, wait, what the fuck is going on here? And they have a link called like our team or our whatever, their agents or something like that. And it's like the three Leopizzi family members. And then you scroll way, way down. And then we get to Blake Schreck. Do you see him?
Oh my God. His phone number's on here.
Oh yeah. His phone number, his email, like he's out there. Okay, granted, we don't know how old and how current this website is, but given the photo on this website, I'm like not into it.
They whatsoever. Have the same hairline.
I mean, they do. It's a little, I'm dying to know when this website is from or like how current it is.
Oh, that is funny.
Yeah, it's.
So maybe, it's yeah, amazing. He does a little real estate on the side.
Who the fuck knows? But I feel like maybe it was from a long time ago because the photos that have come out recently, he looks like a little more built, like a little more muscular, I guess. I don't know.
So the two of them have kind of been spotted being together since August 2018. Blake posted on his Instagram on August 4th that he was sitting at a large table of friends at a club in New Jersey on the Jersey Shore. So it's not like this is the first time they've met. So it's actually interesting that Teresa was like very, very public with him in all these photos. They were holding hands. He had his arm around her. Like clear signs that like they're together. Like, I don't know. I generally don't like hold hands with someone I'm not like intimate with.
Right. Well, and I remember you said on my podcast too, you were like, oh, I heard that she has some boy toy down on the Jersey Shore. Yeah. So I don't think she's been like, I mean, I don't think Teresa is like the most stealth person, but no, I don't think she's really hiding it that much. And I was either talking to you or I was talking to Brandon Alvarado about this, but with the whole like just question of why is Teresa being so faithful or whatever you want to say, to Danielle, like do we think that maybe this is what Danielle has on her?
Probably. I think Danielle is like the keeper of keys, especially with Teresa, because she's so like easily manipulated. Mm-hmm. Because she's like kind of dumb, like, you know, I don't think she sees like the malice coming out of Danielle, you know. I think she's right. Like she cares about me, she's my friend and she stood up for me and she's a good person, where it's like, no, she really just wants to be on this show. And she knows that kind of like blackmailing you and knowing your secrets keeps her around.
Yeah.
And like the whole cast hates her other than Teresa.
Yeah, literally everyone on the whole cast has been like on the finale when Margaret was like, do you not see who this person is? Like, hello. Like,
She's like, I do. And she's not going to stop hanging around us. Danielle is probably like sitting in her living room, like eating popcorn, being like, mwah, like, thank God.
Exactly. Yeah. The my friend Mary Payne, she posted, I think on her Instagram or her Twitter, that I forget her exact name, but the that one character from The Muppets who goes to the opera, like that lady with the eyes. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
And she did a side by side of Danielle with her new cheeks and her. And I was like, oh my God, spot on, 100%. So now that you say Danielle's sitting there eating popcorn, I'm just picturing that lady from the Muppets at the opera. Like,
I think Danielle, like, once her divorce was finalized and she's still saying, like, to the press, like, I hope I can keep the house. I'm like, do you have any sense of, like, reality? Like, this is a very expensive home that you didn't probably put a dime towards. You married this man for fucking 72 hours and now you're like, yeah, so I get the house? It's like, you have no one to even to fill a house. Like, get an apartment. Like, I don't know. I feel like these women on these shows specifically, like, don't understand, like, the value of a dollar. Obviously, Teresa is, like, in this situation and has been with her husband because she right. had these grandiose ideas of what her life should be. And then he, mm-hmm. to keep up with that, did all of these bad things. So it's kind of like, yeah. it's like a circle. Like, how, like, it's like
the circle of New Jersey.
Yeah, really. It's like everybody only wants, like, the big house, the money, the perfect okay. husband. And then it all Hello, just goes Jennifer. To shit. Oh, God. Well, that's a whole other boat that we'll get to when at the end of the episode. But obviously Kim D, who is like my lord and savior, like I ride or die for Kim D and Kim G. She had an exclusive with In Touch, of course.
I love it.
Saying Teresa and Melissa Gorga are the best two liars I know. Teresa just thinks she's not going to get caught. That's her problem. Teresa's been fooling around for years. And then she follows up and says, I came on the show again and said Teresa had a boyfriend. She was seeing that guy, Shane. She was 100% seeing Shane. She was texting him when she was on the girls' trip, and they all knew it and tried to protect her. None of these girls want to go against Teresa because when they do that, they end up losing their job. Where it's like, Kim D, you went against Teresa and aren't on the show anymore. Like, she's literally speaking from experience.
Yeah. And I remember they did the flashback in the reunion to that dinner or lunch or whatever that was when Kim D was like, we all know you have a boyfriend. And as gross and vile of a person as Kim D is, I mean, I believe her in this.
Piece of shit, coke whore every day.
I want like a bedazzled shirt to wear to SoulCycle that says that.
Like, it's literally going to be on my tombstone. Like, just piece of shit, coke whore every day. Like, oh God, Teresa is such a tragic figure. Oh. But hey, I do want her to get some dick. Like, don't get me wrong. Like,
I do. She totally deserves it. After having to fuck Juicy Joe for however many years, and now she's had some reprieve from that. And also, like, Juicy Joe is always such a, at least I always saw him this way, it's such just like a slimy little, like, you know what he reminds me of? He reminds me of, like, oh, this is who he reminds me of. Okay. A year ago, I got like a tiny little pebble that like that chipped my windshield. And my husband was like, oh, go to this windshield fucking place and they'll fix it for you. And I drive up and it's like, three just kind of like slimy, greasy guys like come out of the garage and start looking at you and sizing up your car and blah, 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 and all this shit. And right away I was like, okay, I'm already being fucked over. Like, that's who Juicy Joe reminds me of the windshield repair guy.
I mean, I think like any position where like the guy is wearing like a sweaty wife beater
yep.
and like mm-hmm. is like, I only accept cash. I'm like, you're Juicy Joe. Like,
you're Juicy Joe. Why don't you just Venmo me?
Yeah. Right?
You're Juicy Joe. Yeah. So I totally, and I think I was saying this before, like, I totally believe that Teresa's lawyer with the little glasses, he, you know, talked to her when she was away and he was like, listen, this is what's going to happen to Juicy Joe. Let's line up your ducks right now. Let's get a plan. And good for her. I think it's good that she's, you know, getting some fresh dick, that she's having fun. She deserves it. Her body looks amazing.
Totally.
Like, she works hard. I do think she's a good mom. Like, you know, have some fun. She's had to deal with fucking Joe all these years. Like, take a break. So I am all for her having this little cougar fling.
Well, speaking of girls who are getting fresh dick, obviously.
Oh my God. Yeah.
What a
segue. I'm so eloquent.
No, are you kidding? Like, that is going to be like, if I had titles of my episode, it'd be like getting fresh dick in 2019.
My New Year's resolution.
Right? Fresh dick. 2020. So everybody obviously has been keeping up with the Kardashian drama this past week. So if you haven't, I'll do a quick little recap right now. So Khloe Kardashian and her baby daddy, Tristan Thompson, are obviously in hot water because Kylie Jenner's best friend and ex-roommate, Jordan Woods, was seen hooking up with him at a party, I think this past Sunday. Mm-hmm. Obviously, this everyone freaked the fuck out, duh, because this is like number one breaking of girl code, especially when Kylie and the Kardashians have given Jordan a career and a name. So,
and a residence.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, and a home.
Let me fuck over my billionaire roommate. Like
and veneers.
Oh my God, the veneers. Wait, I saw the before and after. Like, yeah, well, I saw one where it was like Kris Jenner is going to repo those veneers.
I saw that one too.
So good.
I mean, the before and after is if anyone hasn't seen it, like you need to Google that shit ASAP because it's like
blow up. So anyways, obviously this is all happening. This is not Bravo related in any way. Until James Kennedy, the patron saint of all things Vanderpump, he tweeted on February 21st saying, wait, Jordan Woods is at Sir right now handing in her resume. Cry emoji face, I'm dead. One, I'm so upset because I was at Sir the night before. Like, I couldn't even imagine seeing Jordan. I saw James Kennedy. I saw Lisa. I saw Ken. But I'm going to be doing a separate, like, Vandercrawl episode where I recap Vandercrawl. Everything. I'm gonna TM that, like, because
I love that.
Sent it to 60 people this weekend, like at TomTom. I was like, I'm on a Vandercrawl.
You need to get your own, like how they have the TMZ tour buses that go around. You need to get like your own tour bus.
Yes. One of those like Jeeps, like with the doors open, where it's like you can just jump out
with the
like,
microphone.
Yeah. So a couple people were like sleuthing on Twitter saying like, oh, James Kennedy, you were in Arizona when you were tweeting all these things. But then like other people on Twitter had come in and confirmed that she was there. Mm-hmm. They didn't see any resume handing off. But this is so typical that Jordan like would want to go to Sir restaurant for dinner. Like that's a red flag first and foremost. Like you shouldn't go to those establishments to eat.
Of all the restaurants in LA, like, and it, by the way, West Hollywood is quite a distance from the West Valley. So that's a good 40-minute drive without traffic. So that was definitely like a concerted effort.
Totally. And to go to a place where, one, she knows she's going to be seen by a crowd who loves reality shows. Two, like, what a thirst trap that you now think, like, oh, well, you know what? Obviously, I'm not going to be on the Kardashians anymore. Why don't I maybe mosey on to Vanderpump Rules?
I think she almost reminds me of a Kim D in a way. Just to bring it back to Jersey. Because she seems like one of these girls, and I get it because she's younger, it probably is, you know, a more vulnerable situation, but she seems like one of these girls that got a little bit of a taste of fame, albeit in the reality world, but still, and now that she's had a taste of it, she can't let it go. I mean, what is she gonna do, move back into her studio apartment in like Tahunga? Like, for anyone not from LA, that's like maybe like the not nicest area in the valley, possible porn capital of the world. But no, that's Van Nuys, I think. But even like what is she gonna do from here? It's not like she, now that she's had a taste of this lifestyle, she can't go back to living a normal life. So I can see her train of thought. I'm not condoning it, but I can kind of see the situation, I guess.
I mean, the hustle is real. But I think if she got on to Vanderpump Rules, that she would break up Jax and Brittany. I feel like Jax would be like, you are truly – I mean, Jordan is absolutely stunning. Like, Kylie is trying to mold her body and look to be Jordan. And that, like – they're both obviously just beautiful. So I think if she would come in, either Tom Schwartz would cheat or Jax would cheat. And honestly, I'll take either. So terrible.
Do we know, is Lisa Vanderpump friends with Kris Jenner? I don't think they
must be. I feel like that's like,
I mean, I'm sure they know of Illuminati. I'm sure they like, you know, have mutual friends or whatever, but I don't feel like they've, I know Kyle and Chris are, but I don't know. So yeah, my only question would be like, if the only reason why I would see it maybe not happening is, or not being like an opportunity on Vanderpump Rules is if Lisa was like, oh no, I don't want to cut ties or burn bridges with those people. But
well, I know that like Stassi and the Witches of WeHo are totally obsessed with Khloe Kardashian, and I know Lala's friends with her too. So I feel like if that did end up being a thing, those girls would ruin Jordan. So I also wouldn't mind having a new enemy thrown into the mix. Which
That's a good point.
Well, speaking of the Vanderpump Rules cast, Chrissy Teigen tweeted this past week that, breaking news, John and I are taping Family Feud against the fucking cast of Vanderpump Rules on Sunday. She'll also be doing it with her sister and her mom and one of John's brothers. So the VPR cast who are going to be feuding with the Teigen legend clan will be Tom Schwartz, Tom Sandoval, Katie Maloney Schwartz, Ariana Maddox, and then the one, the only, Lisa Vanderpump.
Do we know what, I don't know where this show is. To what channel, Family Feud, do we know like what channel it's on, when it's on? Because I haven't heard of it.
I don't like watch game shows. Like that's not really my vibe. However, let's see like who even, oh, okay. One, Steve Harvey's doing it and he's canceled in my eyes. Like, after the Monique thing where he just mansplained to her, he was like, you're a black woman, so you should shape up. It's like,
oh my God.
Okay. But that's again a side note.
I do kind of remember wasn't there like a whole debacle about Kim and Kanye and Family Feud?
Yeah, well, there was like Jonathan Shabon.
Yes.
Fighting because he was like, I'm yes. Kardashians, I should be on it. And Kim and Kanye are like, okay, I guess. It's all
coming back to me now. Yes.
God. Oh, and then he was like yelling at the Kim's mom and Kim's grandma, MJ. Because she wanted to be on the show. It was like one of her dreams. And he's like, who the fuck is MJ in this world? It's like, Jonathan.
Oh my God.
You're not even a food god.
You're not even a food god.
Okay, so I guess this show is on ABC. So who the... I don't know. I don't watch any of these shows. And I probably will watch this episode because I gotta do research for the show.
Do we know when their episode is going to air?
We don't know that yet, but I don't know who's going to win. I mean, Tom Schwartz and Katie, I wouldn't put them in like trivia people. I would think like Tom Sandoval and Ariana, like I feel like they probably watch Family Feud a lot and watch a lot of Jeopardy and know like random things, like lots of little things. Yeah.
Oh my God. Well, I did read something about Chrissy Teigen tweeted out something about like her mom or it was either her, no, I think it was her mom or her sister was practicing and they like were really bad and she was getting really pissed at them. I think it was like a video or something that came out. So I don't know. I'm not feeling super confident about their abilities.
I feel like we're actually going to learn nothing from this show. Actually, wait, no. Family Feud is not even one where you learn shit, right? Isn't that where it's like the category is body parts? And then they're like,
you know, I actually don't know. I've never watched Family Feud, so I actually do not know what the premise is.
Yeah, neither do I. Well, safe to say, we both won't be watching.
I don't know. I don't. Yeah, unless they put it on like directly after The Bachelor. Like, sorry. Yeah.
And again, Steve Harvey is canceled in my eyes, so it'll be hard to watch
Is this Steve Harvey's like sole job now? Is Family Feud?
No, he has the Steve Harvey show.
Oh, right. Like, yes. Another show I do not watch.
Yeah, like what middle-aged woman sitting home during her afternoons is like, oh, you know who I want to watch? Steve Harvey. Like, it just seems like he has no redeeming quality. I'm like so heated about anti-Steve Harvey right now. But
I mean, I never really... honestly, I don't really know like his whole, so I haven't really paid attention. So, but I feel like the Steve Harvey show is one of those, like my husband's mother, rest in peace, when she was in hospice and you would walk into the hospice center, there's like this lobby and there's like, it's set up like a living room, you know, and there would always be like some random daytime talk show on. It was never like Oprah or like Ellen or something like that. It was always some random ass show. And I'm like, what the fuck is this shit? And I feel like that's where you would see the Steve Harvey show. You know what I mean? Right. Like some random like hospice center or something like that, like where they just put on some channel and leave it and no one really watches it. Like, right. I don't know. I feel like that's kind of his genre.
Well, speaking of other men that are canceled, Tinsley Mortimer from The Real Housewives of New York has finally and officially broken up with her boyfriend, Scott Kluth. So they had been on and off again. They have been on and off since 2017. He always kind of seemed like he didn't love her. So I'm glad they're broken up.
AKA King of Coupon Cabin.
Oh, my God. The Coupon King.
Coupon King. Okay, here's my question. Are they broken up for real this time? Because I feel like they've done this like 6 times.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is. Like, I think it's odd. Like, he quote unquote like has all this money and time and whatever. And I don't think he really is interested in being on the show. However, if she moves to Chicago to be with him, she's no longer on the show. So I think there's probably like this internal debate where she's like, well, I have no money without this show. Obviously, I have quote unquote family money, but I don't know, that well can dry up pretty quickly with her type of like spending and lifestyle and whatever. And then he is like, well, my job and my business and my life is in Chicago, so either like you change or that's it, because I'm not moving to New York.
Doesn't she still get alimony from her ex-husband too?
How does that work?
So okay, so I have a girlfriend actually who's a divorce attorney. I mean, it might be different for New York, but from what she's told me in California, at least, okay, let's say you get divorced March 2019. So, and you were married for, I don't remember how long she was married for, but anyways, if let's say you were married for 10 years, okay. From the day you separated, that's the start date, until the day that you remarry, you will receive alimony payments, either like monthly, quarterly, yearly, or you can settle for a lump sum. So just one big payout. And then the alimony is calculated by basically your standard of living. So, I mean, her standard of living is, a little bit bigger than mine. So I don't know if I have not done a deep dive on that, but I know that her ex-husband is not hurting. So I don't know if she took like a lump sum or if she's, I would assume that she'd get alimony payments, but as much as she is like, oh, I want to get married again. That's the thing, is if she gets married again, she doesn't get the alimony anymore.
Interesting. I guess they never really considered it like that. But you would think that she, like, obviously she's made it known that she wants children. She has the egg, the frozen eggs.
Oh, yes, we know.
That's just the scene, the scene that will forever be, like, scarred in my brain. And trying on wedding dresses for a man who has not proposed. Oh, God, the whole thing is so dark. But yeah, you would think she would, like, make choices based on like her desires, and like, I mean, but I don't, honestly don't think Scott is like, please, please, please marry me.
Right.
Like,
right.
I think she was like pushing it and he was like, I don't know, move here.
Right. I think that's, and didn't she say that at the reunion? She's like, listen, I would consider moving to Chicago, like if I had a commitment or something. I think this is just I'm surmising this just completely on my own accord, that okay, she, in her head, she'd be like, okay, well, if I move to Chicago and we're not engaged or we're not married, I'm basically giving everything up without a guarantee, which totally. I can see that. And of also, course. Yeah, she probably wouldn't be on the show anymore. So I could say, and even if he did say like, okay, move to Chicago and we'll get engaged, it's like, her whole life has been, you know, kind of branded as like this socialite of the Upper East Side, and she wouldn't be on the show. And it would kind of take her. I think that, you know, part of her does like and appreciate the notoriety and all of that. And I think if she moved to Chicago, that would she like who would she be in Chicago? She would just be another girl. So
that's so true. But how cool would it be if they did like a Real Housewives of Chicago? Like there are some crazy rich, crazy women in Chicago. It's still a metropolitan city. Like, let's get that.
Chicago's a great city.
If she was Bethany, she would be like, okay, bravo. I will spearhead a Chicago version of the Housewives. I'll come on. I'll get married. You see that whole shit show. Like, that's worth it in itself. She probably knows some fancy ladies in Chi-Town. So.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, and the other thing is, having spent part of my life in the Midwest, in Minneapolis, which is just north of Chicago, it's, I feel like everyone's like, oh, everyone's so nice, whatever. There's, at least, like, where I lived in, like, the suburbs, it was very, like, Stepford. It was very like, yeah, everyone looks like they have this like perfect suburban life on the outside, but like there's some dark shit going on. Like, so I don't know. I would assume, like, why not get that kind of juicy stuff out of like a Real Housewives of Chicago? And the other thing, this would be kind of Jersey-esque, but like, I'm sure there's like some mafioso types in Chicago that they could get on the show, or like ex-mafia wives. Like, that would be fascinating.
Oh, I would actually love an ex-mafia wife. Like, make it like a little bit mob's wife. Like, that was such a good show in its heyday.
A mob wife with Tinsley.
Right? That would be amazing. Well, I can't wait. Obviously, Real Housewives in New York is coming back March 6th at 9 p.m. And again, a shameless plug. If you haven't RSVP'd, I am hosting a Real Housewives of New York viewing party at a bar in the East Village. Check out the link in my Instagram account. That will have all the information, and it's free, and there's going to be like goodie bags and obviously booze and good times and a shit ton of Bravo lovers. And even if you're coming alone, just come, because there's literally going to be 150 people there and you will make a friend. And if you don't, then who cares? You'll still have fun.
I'm so jealous that I live so far away.
I have one of my friends, she's like, should I fly in? I'm like, well, yeah. Like,
obviously.
Well, to finish up the episode, we have a kind of a plot twist. Megan King Edmonds from the Real Housewives of OC. So Megan was a guest on season 9, full cast member on season 10 through 12, and then now on Wikipedia is saying she's a guest again on season 14. So she was caught filming a lunch with Tamra and Shannon this past week, which is quite interesting considering she lives full-time in St. Louis. And I saw on her Instagram account that she posted this whole freaking paragraph about like traveling alone with her daughter.
Oh my God.
So like, girl, do you really need this?
Well, and okay, I find it very hard to believe that she was traveling alone with her daughter. Bitch totally had an assistant or a nanny with her. I'm sorry, but it's, come on.
I mean, I don't really feel like I need her on the show. Obviously, the first season she came on, it was amazing. She cracked the cancer gate with Brooks and Vicky, and that was really amazing. And that was some amazing detective work. So I want to see her with like a monocle, like manila folders, like a little Sherlock Holmes hat.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
At, like, That's what I want to see. Like, don't come and talk about your fertility issues. Oh, don't talk about wanting more kids. Don't talk about your, like, odd husband who, like, loves candles. Like, I do love that. I love a man who, like, openly, like, loves candles because I love candles.
Oh, yeah. What happened to her fucking candle store in Fashion Island?
Fashion Island. I don't know. I mean, hey, candles. I used to work at a candle shop, so.
Shut up. You did not. Yeah. Did you work at, like, a fucking Pier 1?
I mean, it was basically a Pier 1, but it was in Astoria, and it's an amazing shop. It's called Lockwood. If you guys live in Astoria, New York, it's an amazing store, but candles and socks were always, like, the top sellers.
Candles and socks.
I mean, those are two things I always need. Like, if I'm home, I want, like, a fuzzy pair of socks and, like, a candle burning. So, like, I understand that.
I do actually. My husband gets really mad at me because he never looks at, like, the Nordstrom card bill, and I'm very aware of this. And so I'll go to Nordstrom and just get those big ass, you know, the Voluspa candles, like the huge ones.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I'll take my fucking, you know how Nordstrom sends you, like, the coupon, like, oh, you earned points and you get $20 off, whatever. I will save my coupons and I will go and get those big, huge candles. And then 3 weeks later, he'll be like, was that always there? And I'm like, yeah, hello. But yeah, I'm totally that total classic, like, white girl that has a bajillion Voluspa candles in my house. I recommend the Champagne Crisp scent, the Laguna scent, and then there's a third one called Macara, and it's like an all white. Those are my favorites. Just,
you are not fucking around.
I'm not. I'm gonna write a fucking blog post just on Voluspa candles.
You should reach out and be like, hey, can you sponsor my show?
Yeah, seriously, I should.
I guess I don't really need her back. It should be interesting. And also Shannon and Tamara hanging out, because I believe at the end of the reunion, they kind of were on the outs, which I was really into because I think Tamara's a trash person. But also I'm confused because when I was on Megan's Instagram account, I saw that she was doing Instagram posts for KY Lube.
I saw this.
It just seems like off brand. Like, I, of course, sex is awesome, and sometimes you need lube, and, like, that's totally cool, but, like, she's like a mommy blogger.
Yeah, she's like a mommy blogger. She's, but doesn't she have like a sponsorship with, like, Huggies diapers?
Yeah,
like, exactly. That's a little confusing just for my mind to wrap around. Like, okay, I'm supposed to, like, believe that you're recommending Huggies diapers and pull-ups to me, but also you're recommending, like, KY Lube. Okay. Like,
I mean, maybe the KY leads to Huggies. So that's, like,
I mean, that's
doing, like, a brand progression thing.
Well, which leads me to my other point, which is I cannot have the thoughts of KY Lube and Jim Edmonds in my mind simultaneously. Like, ooh.
Yeah, that's the biggest gag.
Can't do it. Can't do it. No.
Yeah. I don't need to picture him having sex, like,
no,
even picturing that big thing in the backseat of their car with the seatbelt on where, like, his sperm was being held, like, even that
rocket ship.
Yeah, exactly.
So fucking weird. Or no, what did she call it, a cryo tank? Like, ew. What the fuck was that? That was so weird. So, but no, in the photo that she used for her KY plug or whatever, it was so random. She's, like, laying upside down on her bed in, like, not even, like, a sexy outfit. She's wearing, like, jeans and, like, fuzzy socks and a sweater. And she's, like, holding this thing of KY, like, okay, isn't it supposed to be, like, the product that she had? Wasn't it, like, for couples or something?
Yeah.
And, like, you're laying in your bed by yourself in, like, housewife clothes. Like, I mean, I'm not throwing shade. I wear clothes like that all the time and worse. But I don't know. It just didn't make sense.
It wasn't tracking for me. I really think they needed to have a little bit more of, like, context. It's, yeah, like, what? Like, maybe she just uses it without Jim. Jim kind of seems a little asexual. Like, the vibe I get from him is, like, please don't touch me. Like, ever. Like, God.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I could see. I mean, I'm not a Gretchen Christine fan, but I could see Gretchen and Slade being better spokesperson people for that situation.
Yeah, I would rather see Gretchen and Christine. Oh my God, Gretchen and Slade getting it on over Jim and Megan, I feel
which
like.
Which is saying a lot.
Because I feel like as much as, like, Slade is such a sleazeball. And for all of these, like, hot women to keep getting with him, I feel like he has to be, like, a sleeper hit in the bedroom. Like, maybe that's all he's good for. Like, he can't pay child support. He doesn't have a job. But, like, maybe he's, like, good at going down on people. Like, who knows?
No, dude, where was he? He was on something that I heard somehow, like, quasi-recently. And he was like, I do have a job. I am the manager and CEO of Gretchen Christine Butte.
Like, yeah, right, boo-boo. Yeah, right. Oh, I definitely think. Okay. Yeah, I do think I randomly read, actually, wait, let me get the exact, I, like, have a really ridiculous, like, way of tracking every episode I ever talk about, like, every topic I talk about, so I'm trying to see, okay, so back on episode 13, we discussed, like, what Slade said his job was, and that he, like, does, like, big screen promotions at sporting arenas where, like, he maybe helps get screens, which, like, what the fuck does that even mean?
That is, like, amazing. I have no idea what the hell that means.
How do you get into that industry? It's just he's always making my brain explode.
Oh my god. Yeah, I want to see, like, his, wait, does anyone have access or has seen his LinkedIn? Because I feel like that's something we need to see.
Oh, I can pull it up. It's me, Smiley LinkedIn. Like, can I, like, endorse him for, like, being a bad father?
You can comment on, like, recommendation. What's the other category besides recommendation? Like, all these people recommend him, all these people don't recommend him.
Okay, so let's see. He went to Cal State Long Beach for international business. It looks like oh my god, this is so classic.
I love that he actually has a LinkedIn
and, like, has full, like, filled in information about the activities and societies he was in 1988 in college. Like, chill out.
Shut up. Well, I mean, so, guy has a lot of spare time on his hands, so
seriously, he's like, let me beef up my LinkedIn. So his activities from 1988 to 1990, he competed as a professional cyclist for such teams as Löwenbräu and Team Iron Horse USA. He has lived and trained, wow, at the U.S. Olympic Training Center in Colorado Springs in 93, really? 2 weeks attending the Tour de France. Oh, okay, so he attended the Tour de France. He did not participate in.
He attended.
Good to know. So it looks like he was working, this is so funny. So from 1993 to 2009, he was the VP of marketing at a United Title company. Good question. What that means?
Oh, that, I think that's like a mortgage company. But they went, and the only reason I know this is because my husband is in, like, the finance field. But it's a mortgage company. But as far as I know, they went under during the 08 crash.
Makes sense.
I think that's when his whole life kind of fell apart too.
I mean, duh, he lost all his money and job. So then I'm seeing here he was a TV host, PR consultant. God. He hosted Radio Slade, which
Radio Slade.
Oh my god. Slade produced on-air radio segments, and then he was the lead-in for Access Hollywood's Billy Bush. So obviously him and Billy Bush probably are friends, unemployed friends together. That's nice.
My god. I don't know if that's something to brag about. I would delete that off my LinkedIn.
I'm seeing here that he does brand management for Das Malchi, which he says, we are not a retail company and we're not an e-commerce company. We are a new commerce company. So that makes no sense. Okay. Seems like, and then now, oh God. It's just, like, so funny to see when people just are like, oh, in addition to all of this, he's been the president of Grayson Entertainment for 18 years, which is project development, production, marketing, PR. So that's, I guess, the fake company that he says he owns. That, I guess, does.
Like, wait, the one before that, the
Malchi.
Do we think that maybe that is, like, the DBA for Gretchen Christine?
That's a really, really good thing to consider. Let's see. I'm looking here. Life is good. We want to make it even better. At Das Malchi, our global lifestyle beauty and wellness brand reimagine everyday goods. It's actually kind of chic. Like, it's definitely not Gretchen Butte, but they have, like, I'm actually, like, really into one of these water bottles I'm looking at. And they have, like, skincare and, like, facial products. I don't know what I'm looking at.
What the fuck? I'm like so intrigued by this now.
It's not bad.
It's not bad. Well, I'm that's saying something.
It. Oh my God. Wait, also.
But there's no. Oh, sorry. No, go ahead.
This is now making me go to People Also Viewed, Catherine Dennis, her LinkedIn, Austin Kroll's, Shep Rose's, student at Vanderbilt University. Like, what? Daniel
That's
South.
Who he's linked to?
Like, this is incredible. Like, I want to add Shep on LinkedIn. He probably would, like, he would definitely approve it. Wow, he went to Vanderbilt. It's a hot guy school.
Cal State Long Beach is not a hot guy. Well, I mean, they have a lot of like surfer dudes, but like the stoner surfer is not really my thing. Not that they're all stoners. I'm just speaking from my personal experience. But yeah, I'm surprised that Slade's LinkedIn has, so there's no mention of Gretchen or Christine on his LinkedIn.
Nothing to do with Gretchen
Butte or Gretchen Christine Hambeck.
Yeah, nothing about that. Wow, I guess he's trying to, like, break out on his own, you know? Gosh.
Wait, does he have a link to Gretchen's LinkedIn?
Let's see.
I mean, does Gretchen have a LinkedIn?
I don't think Gretchen needs one. She's so... And Rossi LinkedIn.
She's above that.
There. She's here. Owner and CEO of Gretchen Christine Butte. That's all she has on it. She only has 133 connections.
Are they all housewives?
This is so good. Vicky Gunvalson, CEO and founder of Kodo Insurance. This is like my favorite thing in the world.
Oh my God. I know what I'm going to be doing for the rest of the day.
Right? Oh my God. Avery Singer.
Like what?
Registered associate at Morgan Stanley. Wow. Good for her.
Oh, fuck. Good job, Avery.
I'm like trying to see. I'm like, do I have any connections with you? Like.
Honestly, Avery seems like a really smart, good girl. She, I mean,
yeah, I agree.
Ramona can be a little batshit cray, but, and honestly, I do think that Ramona is probably a good businesswoman.
Totally.
Because, I mean, she did get far, like, you know, even without Mario, and she always said it's good to have, you know, separate money and whatever. And I think, I mean, you've never heard about Avery in any kind of like scandals or anything. And she seems like a very smart girl that, like, has her shit together.
Yeah, I think she's a good head on her shoulder, thank God, because you never know how these housewives' kids will turn out.
Actually, Jill Zarin's daughter is not an asshole or a piece of shit either. The New York, actually, this is – okay, I'm going to, like, write a thesis paper on this now. The New York – all the New York kids, there really isn't, like – a shit show.
No, well, I think it's because they all like went to like great private schools, and like at the end of the day, it's like, yeah, my mom's on a trash TV show, but I still have to like go to a good college and like be a functioning human of society. Other than like Brielle and Ariana Bierman, who are like, oh, why would we ever go to college when we can make 20K on a fat tummy tea post? It's like, yeah, girl, because when you're 30 and actually fat, like, you're not going to have this opportunity. Yeah. Like, this is going to die. Like, this.
Get it now. Get it now.
Yeah, like, this world is going to die. So maybe get a college degree, because in 15 years, when all of this is over, oh, maybe you can get a job, like, doing right. God knows what. I'm so bitter about those girls. I felt so bad after watching Don't Be Tardy that aired this week. I just felt like these poor girls have such like body dysmorphia.
Oh,
and
my God,
it was hard to
insane.
Watch.
Insane. And Brielle's new lips. I'm like, you need to stop. And I honestly, like, even though I live in Los Angeles, I do not feel like it would be a good environment for Brielle.
Totally not. Just God. Well, I guess to finish up the episode, we both decided that our favorite moment on Bravo that aired this week was obviously the Real Housewives in New Jersey reunion, part yes. one of three, which last year they only got two. So this year is like, God has listened to my prayers.
Yes. Yes. I completely concur. It was amazing. I actually, I've only watched it once so far, but I feel like I really need to go back and do a second and possibly even third screening, because I feel like I didn't even completely soak everything in. There was just so much going on. And I know you talked about like the Jackie versus Teresa, which was amazing. And so which cool. I have a whole like theory behind.
Ooh,
I So, okay, this is my theory. And this is just because I've been in therapy since I was like 9. But not that I have issues, but no. Okay, so when Teresa kept going, like kind of being so defensive toward Jackie, this is my theory, okay? I feel like Teresa has a lot of defensiveness towards Jackie because Jackie, in a way, is like everything that Teresa is not but wanted to be. Like, her husband's, like, I think her husband's pretty good looking.
Oh,
like,
her husband
actually has a job. Like, he's a nice Jewish mensch. Like, he doesn't seem like an asshole. He doesn't seem like a pedophile. He seems like he pays his bills. He doesn't seem like he's going to get, like, audited anytime soon. And, you know, Jackie has 4 kids, but she obviously has a good body. But Jackie's very upfront about, like, she's like, yeah, I had a tummy tuck. I had 4 kids. What do you fucking expect? And Jackie is very open about, like, her eating issues. And she has a nice house that looks appropriately furnished that and she's a smart girl. Like she said, she went to law school. She had a career doing this. She's a writer. Like oh my God, one of my favorite moments was when Jackie was like, well, I didn't have a ghostwriter, or everyone knows you had a ghostwriter. And Teresa was so defensive about it. But I'm like, Teresa, on the cover of your book, it says Teresa Giudice with whatever, whatever. So, and as someone who listened to that entire first book on Audible, which I feel like I should have.
Did she narrate it?
She narrated it.
Oh my God, and you deserve a medal for listening to that.
I think personally that Amazon should pay me for having listened to that instead of me paying whatever Audible is, $15 a month or whatever. I think I need like a reimbursement because it was literally like listening to a child learning how to read. And this is coming from a former teacher who taught children how to read in kindergarten, and this was more frustrating. It was like she had never seen these words before in her life, and trying to sound out with her amazing accent, trying to sound out these words, it was just like, I mean, there's no words. So when Jackie was like, well, you had a ghostwriter, and Teresa was like, no, I didn't, blah, blah, blah. And Teresa was so defensive and of everything, and my opinion on defensiveness is typically when someone's super overly defensive like that, they're trying to hide something, or you struck a nerve of vulnerability and that's their coping mechanism. It's to be like, no, whatever. Because I feel like if Teresa wasn't so triggered by Jackie, she would just sit there and be like, meh, meh, meh. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I think, you know, having her say like, are you hungry? Why don't you go eat? Like, I think that was like
so fucked up.
It was this moment where you see that Teresa is like, I'm desperate. I'm desperate for something to make me quote unquote win this argument and knock her down a peg. However, it actually just showed how ignorant Teresa is to like genuine struggles that people deal with. Like, you know, Teresa's life has been like cushy, like grew up, met Joe, had babies, like had quote unquote money, got on this show, became famous. Like that sounds really good on paper.
Right.
You know, she probably didn't struggle with certain things that Jackie went through. You know, Jackie also opened up, my dad also went to prison. You know, I didn't have this like amazing, easy life. Like she has issues with her sister, you know. And so for Teresa to just be like, oh, this is something that's really, really, really going to hurt her. And it's such a triggering statement. Like Jackie doesn't know that she has these problems every single day. Probably most meals that she eats have a little bit of a, like you remind yourself of like
totally
these choices and choices that you made in the past, especially relating to body and body image, like especially coming from Teresa, like as she hasn't had food in like months to do this bodybuilding competition. It was so loaded with hate. And you could see all the other women on the couch were like, come the fuck on. And Jennifer, Jennifer tried to save her. She was like, no, she's trying to say you're thirsty. It's like, no, honey, like,
no, she knew there's a difference. Doing.
She knew exactly what she was doing. And it hurt. It hurt to see someone be so cruel. Like having Margaret in like the previous episodes when they were, you know, in Cabo, and she said, you know, well, you know, I said those things to you, Jennifer, to hurt you. They are not true. I said it to hurt you. If Teresa like took 10 minutes at the reunion and been like, hey, Jackie, like, I actually realized what I said was completely out of line. I'm sorry. I just said it because I was upset. Mm-hmm. And you are strong-arming me because you're obviously intelligent and I'm, like, not book smart like you. Like, Teresa's literally trying to fight with a litigator. Like, someone who went to school to argue rationally and while keeping their cool. So it's hysterical.
And I think there's also the other thing that I would guess that triggers Teresa is because Teresa made such a big deal. Her whole thing, she's like, you're a stalker. Okay, so and like Jackie said, so everyone that went to your book signings is a stalker? Like, what the fuck? And I think Teresa has a lot of resentment about the fact that Jackie was just, you know, like a I mean, she was working, but she was, you know, a mom from New Jersey who was a fan. I mean, Jackie was very open about that. She was like, yeah, I watched the show. And then, but now Jackie's essentially somewhat on the same level as Teresa. And I think that's very threatening to her.
Definitely. I mean, I think this is going to get so ugly. Obviously, you see the, next episode on the reunion, you see that, oh God, Teresa like threatens to throw something at Jackie and Jackie goes, well, aren't you on parole? Like,
I know. Oh my God. I loved it. I was like, yes, Jackie, because Jackie's very quick. She's very quick witted. And it's like, as quick and on her toes as she is, it's like Teresa can't really keep up.
No, you know, it's like Teresa's main forms of arguing are like being physical, which we've seen, and then just like screaming, you fucking bitch, you fucking whore, you fucking this. It's like, yeah, girl, shut up. You're not saying anything. Just because you could scream loud doesn't mean you're making any points. Doesn't mean you're right. Making points that like affect people. Jackie's like, well, what, you call me a stupid bitch? Whatever. I'll tell you that you're on fucking parole and maybe you shouldn't threaten me. Like, right. Which is like,
well,
that,
and I think that's the other thing that irritates her, and this is something like that in therapy, like my therapist always talks about the that like when you like, let's say someone's coming at you like Teresa, the best thing that you can do is react like Jackie, which is basically being non-reactive and just sitting there calmly, whatever, because it's like a person like Teresa, they want to get a rise out of you. That's what they feed on. And if you're not giving that to them, if you're not interacting, it's like it basically just blows back on them and it's infuriating to them. And so I was like, Jackie, and I'm sure Jackie's been like through some therapy too. So I just, yeah. And then when Teresa was like, it is the Teresa show. Like, I think she has it in her head that she can do whatever the fuck she wants because, I mean, she went to fucking jail and they held production for her. Okay. So, but hasn't it already been confirmed that Jackie's coming back next season?
I think the cast is remaining the same. I feel like Andy,
that's what I heard
on
too.
But also, once a housewife says, this is my show, this is my show, you know, Nene did it, Bethany did it, and both of those ladies got off the show for a good amount of time. Vicky, now demoted, you know. Yep. Once you start pretending like, oh no, this is my show, I run shit, I have say in casting, like who I'm gonna film with, who I'm not gonna film with, that's when I think Bravo producers kind of they take a look at what's actually happening, and they're like, honestly, Teresa brought nothing this season in terms of like really, really good drama. You know, she still is like so weird with Melissa and Joe. And I think Jackie has had like a really great influence on Melissa because Melissa is sitting there being like, no, girl, like chill out. Like, let's actually talk, like not scream at each other. And I think that calmness that Melissa is now showing is making Teresa shake in her boots even more because like, you know.
Well, and I feel like, and I know Melissa said this, I feel like Melissa and Jackie have like a genuine relationship too, because at the end of the day, I think Melissa and Jackie have much more in common, you know, like they seem to have, you know, somewhat like stable marriages, and they just, you know, they're really like all about their kids and their whatever. And the other thing that like, and I don't remember who Teresa said it to, maybe she just said it in a general sense, but Teresa was like, my life is blah, blah, blah. And I think it was Margaret who said, everybody has shit, Teresa. Like, this isn't, you're not, yes, your husband's been in prison and that's horrible and awful, but like other people have stuff too. Mm-hmm. It's not that you're the only one that is suffering.
And it's hard when it's like, yeah, you can't compare grief, but don't forget, Teresa, he brought this upon himself. This isn't
exactly,
you know, when her mother was sick, that was heartbreaking. That is some real shit where it's like out of your control. You didn't get to spend that time with her because your dirtbag husband put you in jail. You know, that I could kind
of see. He brought this on himself.
Yeah, like, you know, and you don't get fancy things. You don't get a big house. You don't get these things without fucking working hard. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he always was like, oh, well, here's all this money, Tree. Don't go spending it. It's like, that's blood money. It's all fake money. Yep. And that is like, don't forget where you're from, Teresa, because all of this is fake.
I'm from Patterson. You know? I mean, yeah, I feel more sympathy and more whatever. I feel worse for, if anything, for Teresa's kids, because they didn't choose this. They had nothing to do with this. This, you know, what their dad did was fucked up and had nothing to do with them. So, yeah, I'm very sorry for her kids. And but for Joe, like, sorry, you fucked up and you're paying the consequence. You can't fuck around with the IRS. Like, that's just something you don't do. Like, if you're going to fuck around with anybody, like, just no. So, yeah, like, I'm sorry, you're paying the consequences. Like, you know? So, yeah, I don't know. And then the Marge versus Jennifer, I just, you know, I had been warming up to Jennifer because I do feel like her, you know, one-upmanship was kind of like a coping mechanism for her. Like, maybe she didn't feel comfortable and that was her way of trying to, like, fit in, whatever. But then at the reunion, I felt like she totally reverted back to old Jennifer, like the Jennifer that we saw at the beginning of the season when she was saying, well, Oklahoma, blah, blah, blah. She, you know what she reminded me of? Vicky. Remember when Brianna move to Oklahoma too?
Yeah, I think she was in Oklahoma for a bit.
And Vicky was like, well, that's who lives there, whatever. And everyone was like, Vicky, don't say it. Like, she did basically the same thing that Vicky did.
It's like she kind of doubled down. It's like you watch the season. You saw how sad Polly was. You saw that Margaret really had, you know, empathy for her friend who has a beautiful home, did all these kind things for them. And she still watches it. She's like, oh, I don't give a fuck. I still want it to be catered for. I want to this. I want to this. I need this. I need this. It's like, shut the fuck up and be a trooper. Like, if you have an issue, go home, talk shit to your husband about it and be done with it. You don't need to keep reminding all the girls and, like, making Polly feel bad as if, like, her house isn't gorgeous. She's like, wouldn't you tell someone that you had a beautiful sunset? It's like, yeah, maybe. No. But I wouldn't say, like, oh, my sunset is so much better than this. It's like, no, this is a gorgeous sunset. You know, maybe dinner later. Oh, I seen pretty sunsets at my house, too. I don't know, like, I understand where she's coming from because, yeah, like, whatever. It's a sunset. But can't you just, like, allow that moment to be, like, present in the moment where it's like, wow, this Oklahoma sunset is gorgeous. Like, God forbid.
Right. But that's not even like what she was talking about. She was saying, well, from my property, this, and from my property, that. Like, it wasn't like a normal person would just be like, oh yeah, that reminds me of the sunset I saw last Thursday at my house. Like, that's what a normal person would say. Yeah. But she was like, well, from my property, because, you know, my property overlooks blah, 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 blah. And then she also when she was saying, like, what is it about the bathrooms? Why does everyone have to say 16 bathrooms? And I think Marge was the one saying, you're the one who said that all the time, crazy. Like, and even Andy was looking at Jennifer like, I'm not really understanding what you're saying. She's like, Andy, wouldn't you say that? And Andy's like,
Well, I loved the moment where Andy was like, Dolores, admit it. You hate Melissa. It's like, Andy, what? Like, Andy has never, I think, like, so openly been like, address your hate right now. Address your hate.
What was up with the long pause?
I don't know.
Like, did they edit it to be longer, or was that like a legit awkward pause?
I think probably a little bit of both. I feel like Dolores is like very calculated in the words that she says, unlike some of the other women in the group. Mm-hmm. And she was like, no, like, her like voice got high and like okay.
Did you watch What Happens Live that night when Melissa was on?
Oh no, I haven't watched yet.
Melissa was on with Mark Consuelos, who I fucking love. Mark Consuelos is my hall pass, and I saw him and Andy Cohen once at SoulCycle, and he was doing class with his shirt off. And oh my God, he's just fucking gorgeous. Anyways, I got a little distracted. So anyways, Melissa was on and someone either called in or tweeted and was like, well, what did you think about Dolores, like, kind of not really answering about that question? And she kind of glossed over it. So I don't know what is really
going on there. I think Dolores is just keeping her mouth shut because she knows she's Teresa's family. And, like, at the end of the day, it's family. Family. Well, on that note, let's end today's episode. Where can people find you and follow you and listen to your amazing show?
Thank you so much. Yes, I my podcast is, the title is kind of long. I'm open to suggestions for shortening it. But yes, my podcast is The Real Housewife of the West Side, because I am a housewife and I live on the west side of LA. And my Instagram is the same thing, The Real Housewife of the West Side. Twitter, I am at RHO West Side. And my Patreon episodes are on patreon.com. Just search The Real Housewife of the West Side. And yesterday, actually, I recorded an episode with Heather McDonald's ex-assistant. And yeah, we went for 2.5 hours. Wow. And I think I might have to put the entire thing on Patreon. But yeah, it was.
Spill about Heather?
Oh, yeah. I asked her, I said, you know, is there anything you don't want to, you know, any places you don't want to go? She said, nope. She said, I didn't sign an NDA. I will talk about anything.
Okay. God knows I'm signing up for your Patreon, because I kind of have a bone to pick with Heather for literally no reason. I mean, there are great reasons. But
tell me.
I mean, we'll get to it another time.
you can tell me after. Wow. I mean, and she has lots of other scoop about, I didn't even know this about her, but she used to be an assistant to a bunch of studio heads and producers, and she has just all kinds of juicy scoop. Sorry, guys. I had to. Follow me, and yeah, I would love to have you too. So yes, thank you, Megan, so much for having me. And I loved having you on my show last week too.
Of course. Come back soon.
Thank you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.